This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com. You're listening to the best of
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
The guest sitting among us now is Velvet Negroni.
The Velvet Negroni, homie, the one and only.
You create these ethereal kind of R&B masterpieces.
Do you do all the production on it as well?
Yeah, I'm a backseat productionist.
Love that. I guess I've never really kind of tried to see it from the perspective of someone who always sees music as much as they hear it.
Yeah, I've heard stories about like Burial saying some shit like that. He's like, yeah, like once I get the wave looking like this, like basically looks like a fish like this, then I know that it's good.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Every Wednesday from 4 p.m.
Our
radio.
We've got our second guest of the day in right now, and he goes by the name Michael Odewale.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
What's going on, G?
Not at all, man. We have to give all our guests a spirited round of applause.
Oh, yeah,
it seemed like that surprised you a little bit.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't expecting just off the name alone to get a hand. It doesn't happen, really.
Yeah, good, strong Nigerian name. That will, you know what I mean? That gets us kind of.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And you might as well get used to that for the future, bro, because anytime anyone mentions your name after you do
expect
your
a claim.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Man, just try it now. Just say it again now.
Michael Odewale.
Oh, my goodness.
Even in the back.
I didn't expect to come here for a motivational talk, but I'm feeling pumped.
You feeling pumped?
I'm feeling pumped. I'm leaving here feeling proud.
The world now.
Chest out, you know, back straight, you know.
Yeah. Say everything with your chest from now on. That is the theme of today's show.
Say it with your chest.
With the chest. Okay,
absolutely.
I will do. I appreciate it.
So, what got you into comedy?
I started pretty early. I was about 17, but even when I was growing up, I was always more comedy than music. You know, I used to love Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, them and they're like going back, Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
I used to listen to their comedy albums like it was music, you know, reciting it in school. And then, you know, I think I liked about comedy is just that freedom of being able to say anything and getting away with it as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
And like, I always liked that ability. So I was like, I'm going to try it and I'm going to go up. So I think I was in uni, actually. They had this like open mic night close to the comedy club next to my uni. And I was like, I'm going to go up and try. And it wasn't funny because I didn't prepare anything because I didn't know what you needed. But then I still liked it enough that I was like, I'm going to go back and try this properly. And the second time, I was like, I think I'm in this. I think I'm hooked now.
Okay. So the first time was a bit of a...
It wasn't bad. It was just kind of like, it was just there. You know what I mean? Not really enough laughs, not enough anything. But it kind of helped to take away the fear factor a bit as well.
I was going to say, it shows a lot of tenacity. And if the first time isn't everything you hoped it would be, and you still go back.
To be honest, I think most first times that we kind of build up, they don't end up being the thing that we think it's going to be. You know, it just ends up being just sort of a mediocre thing. I don't know if you guys...
My virginity. Losing my virginity is definitely the thing that springs to mind.
Yeah, exactly, man. So then just to get that away, get that off, and then being able to build from there, that was quite nice. It was it's not this big, scary thing. It doesn't have to be anyway. It's just like saying stuff, you know, and I kind of like that. Yeah.
Okay. So the show that you're putting on Edinburgh Fringe is hashtag Black Bears Matter.
It's true, yeah.
What? How did that title come?
Well, the title is actually related to a joke in the show that kind of explains it
all. Okay, all right.
But the show in itself is kind of like me talking about, because I studied politics at university, and I was kind of like really interested in all these protest movements and social movements going on at the moment. And also kind of addressing my own apathy and selfishness when it comes to like, well, what do I do? Like, how do I get involved in all of that? And I felt like there's a lot of people who feel that way. They don't get involved like they think they should, or, you know, I'm just trying to...
people think they should.
So it's me trying to communicate where that sense of apathy comes from, you know, sort of maybe back to my childhood, or like even now, like with the whole social media thing and everything, and just it kind of encapsulates the whole of that over an hour.
Okay.
So I just for a show, I guess there's a lot of topics to cover, but I've always kind of been interested in politics and everything like that, and I wanted to find a way to address it that didn't feel preachy. It's like, you know, it's not me saying, well, we should be doing this. It's like me saying, I don't really have the answers of why I don't do enough, but let me try and address why at least, and see if people resonate with that.
You know what I'm saying? Do you feel like because of social media and because of all the kind of various causes that are kind of floating about now, that we are pressured to be activists or to be politically literate and stuff?
I think so. We are bombarded with a lot every day, like a lot of tragedies, a lot of this and a lot of that. I think it can be kind of easy to disassociate yourself from all of it because you don't know where to start and you don't know how you can help.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel exactly what you just said is the case. It's like everyone becomes a professional.
Yeah.
And sometimes you feel like I'm just out of my depth here. I don't know what to say, so I'm not gonna say anything. And sometimes your silence can be confused with
this is the thing. Like when you think about it, like you think of the whole Brexit thing, you think of all of that. There's so many people that were like, yeah, I think we should do this, but they didn't. But no one had a clue what it was actually really like backing in it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
it feels like there's a lot of pressure to have a hot take. Yeah. I don't really have that many hot takes, you know. Because I've always been interested by those people who just, they see something, they get angry.
All the time, tweeting this. I'm like, what are you doing right now? Like, where are you
It's like 7 a.m. and they're jumping into a political debate.
Running
like,
threads and shit.
Are you even brushing teeth today? Like, what's going on? Like,
I don't. I think maybe you find with those people, they haven't quite read the full facts of the, so when they jump in, they're not quite on it as in terms of exactly what the situation is.
And then someone just jumps in and shoots them down. And then they're like, nah. And then a whole other thing just spreads off that.
Yeah. And then someone woke comes in, well, you need to check your blah, blah, blah. There's so many things you got to check these days. I don't even know, man.
It's
true.
I thought back in the day it was just fire alarms.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Now you got to check privilege. Yeah. You got to check your toxicity.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, it's all a bit mad now.
Yeah. It is mad. But you were at the Pleasants Courtyard Bunker on the 31st of July.
Bunker 2.
Bunker 2.
I've got the second bunker.
To the 25th. I imagine having the 13th off. All comedians seem to.
Yeah, I take take a day off.
Yeah, you got to have a day off, haven't you? And what time is that show?
The show's at 5:30.
Good.
It's a nice prime time. Nice prime time as well.
Okay. Have you been to Edinburgh before? Even if it's not for comedy, if you ever...
No, I've only ever been for comedy reasons. Mm. I was there a couple of weeks back, actually, to do some gigs.
Yeah.
That wasn't that fun, because it was just me by myself, so...
Oh, what do you mean?
So, like, because there's obviously, when you go out for the Fringe, like, bunch of comedians everywhere, so you're never bored, because there's always something about.
I thought you meant audience. I was just there by myself.
Oh, yeah, just
there
like...
Just
practicing the show. Yeah.
So,
Hello, my name's Laura Mish, and I was just on the FUBAR radio show with Marcel and Michael. It was really, really fun. They're really sweet and quite funny. I just kind of watched them have their banter and talked a bit about music. It was really lovely.
FUBAR Radio presents... Access all areas.
Our lovely Stephen isn't with us, he's away, but we've flown in someone even sexier. Jack Fowler, cheers. Welcome! We got very excited because we've got another guest, Ricky Garnaccio!
Oh, you're
listening! Hello, Ricky! I'll just call you Ricky.
Every year.
We loved you on Geordie Shore. Do you miss not doing it?
Nope.
That was quick.
But I have to say, Ricky, I loved you when you did Celebrity Big Brother. I mean, that must have been one hell of an experience for you. You're glad it's over?
It was boring.
Every Thursday from 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good evening and welcome to Access All Areas with me, Stephen Leng. And for one show only, the very gorgeous Elma. Hello.
Hello.
Love Island's Elma. Is that a weird, like, name to have now? You're officially...
It's so strange. Like, even people approach me, like, they're like, Elma, and I'm like, oh, hi. And then I'm like, okay.
They know me. Okay, well, we have a show to get on with. So you are going to be sitting in Lizzie Cundy's seat today, co-presenting with me. We also have Crystal Rasmussen.
Hi. So nice to be here.
You're Crystal, but not looking like Crystal.
I don't know. It depends what you can let your imagination do. I think I look like Crystal right now.
Well, I mean, of course
you do.
Do you
want me to explain how I look?
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. Do you want to?
I've got gorgeous red curly hair, perfectly contoured cheeks, and incredibly high heels, and an ingrown toenail. That's Crystal.
Delicious. How are you?
I'm good. I'm super well. I'm, you know, just getting ready for my Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming off the back of a book tour. Edinburgh for me is just sort of, you know, a different space. But still, I'm getting ready for that, and I'm really excited.
So have you done Edinburgh before?
I've done Edinburgh before with the drag band I was in, Denim, who've been on this show before, on Callum McSwiggan's show.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I've done it twice before, and I loved it. But this is the first time going solo.
Okay.
You know, back when I did Pornography, I was in a group then as well. And then when I went solo, it was scary. But after a while... You know, you really get into it. And so I'm looking forward to having an hour on stage to myself just to talk about the most important thing in the world, which is, you know, me.
Nice yourself.
Yeah, of course.
I really like how you really got Elma's attention then when you said you did.
I know, yeah.
You're like, what?
I wish I was that interesting. My God, no, I've lived a very sheltered life.
How did you first start doing drag, other than the way that I did, which was wearing my grandma's heels when we'd stay over for the night?
Well, that's literally how I started too. Sort of like building a character in my bedroom. with like duvet covers and pillows and be like, oh my God, I look so rich. And like I grew up, you know, with not much money. And so back then all I wanted to do was like be this glamorous woman. You know, and now I am. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, so I started that way. And then I guess eventually I was invited onto stage because I met some drag queens. And they were like, do you do a drag? And then I did it. And I loved it. And then now it's sort of like my full-time fucking job, which is
who would have ever imagined?
Well, probably me, I guess. Like, no, I'm kidding. But, yeah, I mean, seriously, though, I was talking about this weirdly today because I was actually on a podcast. Don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
No, never. But I was on a podcast, and we were talking about this. And it's so weird because back then when I created Crystal, she was all about the fantasies that I could, like, never be. So she was, like, beautiful and rich and thin and American, as you can tell, because my real voice is actually Lancastrian. Right? But she could do anything that I wasn't basically allowed to there. Uh-huh. So she was super sex positive and whatever. And obviously as my life, when I'm not in drag, has got closer to that. Obviously I'm not an international American woman, but I'm nearly there. And so, you know, it's weird. Like, I don't really know where she stops and I begin in the best way. Whereas mm-hmm. back then she was totally separate to me. Mm-hmm. Something I'd do behind a closed door. And now she's like, you know, we are within each other all the time.
Oh, that sounds a bit sexual.
Oh, it is. Oh, that's a very sexual experience being being me.
Every
being
day. Both of us.
Exactly. Have you ever done drag?
No.
No. You're so intriguing. I could literally, I think I could sit and listen to you all day long.
Oh my God, I could sit here and listen to you too.
Oh, stop it.
You should do drag. Oh my God.
I've seen a couple of female drag queens, but actually none in this country. I've seen them in America and in Australia, but never here.
There's quite a few here.
Really?
Or a few, I think a few of them are non-binary, but, you know, assigned female at birth, but I think there's a lot of amazing, really out in the bars and often in like gallery spaces, there's like these incredible drag performers who are completely redressing what we think of as drag.
Yeah,
not as this
yeah.
like sort of quite old school, like acidic drag thing, which I love as well. It's important to honor your heritage, of course. You know, those like northern queens from where I came from who are like, you fucking get out of my bar. It's like, I love it. It's really important. But, you know, you have these, there's an exhibition on actually at the moment at the Hayward Gallery. I sound so posh. And it's called Kiss My Genders. And it's all these incredible.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've seen the pictures.
You must go. Because it really like redresses loads of drag imbalance. And I think it's really important because, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, which, you know, I'm a fan of, really only says that like men can be drag queens, and that's not true. You know, I don't want to delete RuPaul's incredible legacy. Like, you're right, the reason I'm probably in full-time work is because of RuPaul in some sort of like liquefied way or whatever. But at the same time, I think you can have idols and still call them out. I think that's what having an idol is about, right? You've got to be able to critique your idol, or else you're just like, I don't know, delusional. Although people can't critique me because I've never actually done anything wrong. And I am the idol of many people, so...
Yeah, what do you think about the fact, like, with Love Island, there's never been a... Well, there was one bisexual couple a couple of years ago, Sophie Graydon, if I remember rightly. But there's never been any of that kind of wider sexuality stuff. What do you think? It kind of doesn't lend itself to it in a way.
Yeah, I mean, I did hear rumours for this year. I thought there was going to be. But, yeah, it just doesn't seem... hasn't really been brought to anyone's attention.
How would you do that? That's kind of the thing,
isn't it? It's like a bit like if you're trying to pair people up.
How do you end up having
so many people, I think, is the point, isn't it?
Like, I mean, they asked me to be on the island this year.
They did?
But I've actually dated all the boys on there already, so it was too weird because they'd have all chosen me. So
and
I had
all
to
the
turn
girls
it down.
Would have hated you.
Well, and I've dated all them too, so you know, it's not the first time we've met, but I think it's a...
Everything I thought I ought to know. nothing but green lights from here. Nothing but empty roads. You and I gonna drive ourselves out of this town in a 1989 black Mercedes Benz.
KSI and Randolph. Are you there, KSI?
Yo, what's up?
So, why are you having fights with people?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to show that I'm the best boxing YouTuber on YouTube.
What is happening in Brixton?
We got a show. We got, like, our, you know, London show.
And what happens in that? Is that all singing and rapping, or is that a bit of fighting and all chucked in for good fun?
I mean, if you punched me, nothing would happen, though. I'd just be like, did a fly hit me, or... I don't know.
Look at this. I reckon if I keep pushing their buttons in the right way, they'll start fighting each other right now. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? We're joined by Katie Manning now in the studio. You nearly fell off your chair.
I'm very physical. Good. Do you know what I mean? I get very excited. Yeah. And for a woman of my age, that's quite scary.
How old are you? 38-ish?
Oh, you're darling.
Around 38.
I could be your grandma, darling, because I'm 72.
Why could you not be my girlfriend?
Yeah, do you not want to be...
Do you like an older woman, darling?
I like anyone.
Who says yes?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm like, I wouldn't have any...
I just missed my mouth then. That was maybe you should not have me.
That's a good point, actually, isn't it? Phaser is now sat opposite me.
We're all puppets, but I like to pull my own strings.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are all puppets, though.
In entertainment, you know, like...
Do you really think that?
Punch and Judy type thing.
Do you think? I'm not a puppet.
You can be your own puppet.
Not a puppet.
You're not a puppet.
What are you? You are actually a puppet. So you had a guess, you've been made into a puppet. He has actually been made into a puppet,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm...
It wasn't like a voodoo puppet or nothing like that.
Yeah,
like
I have a big collection of voodoo dolls at home.
No.
And really, I've been pulling out your teeth recently in them, and you have been going to the dentist. So
I wouldn't be
there.
Surprised if you did have a load of... That actually wouldn't have shocked me.
We're joined now by Alex Fox.
I'm not a fan of 50 Shades. Those books are not well loved by many people on the responsible fetish community scene because they depict in many ways a problematic dynamic. Least exciting erotic series that I've seen in a while. I virtually fell asleep watching those films. But
that
also
can happen after a while.
True. If I'm late for anything, it's usually had a wank falling asleep. A fap and a nap, as I like to call it.
Every Monday, Ian Boltworth, from 4 p.m.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. Radio.
Nat, did you know this or not? Right. You know Camp Rock?
I did, yeah.
You know Meghan Martin from it?
I do, yes.
Did you know that she's set to make her professional stage debut?
I did know that.
Did you? Where's it at?
The Park Theatre.
We've been there, haven't we?
We have been there.
I've been there twice.
James,
you've been there once.
Lance's play. But I also know that because I just asked her, because she's sat next to me now.
Well, part of... Oh, you've ruined the
whole
intro.
Oh, the next guest surprise.
So part of the thing was going to be that part of you making up... She forgot my birthday last week. Aww. For forgetting my birthday was if you could get Megan into the studio so I could interview her about it, that would be a
Let
good thing.
Let me see what I can do.
But no, you've ruined it.
Megan, can you come into the studio?
I don't think so.
Okay, fine. I can't do that for you. Sorry, I can't do that.
We're joined now by Meghan Martin. We're talking about the answers. I don't know what Camp Rock is.
Is it big?
Is it
a
big deal?
You know, just that if you've heard of the Jonas Brothers, they were involved.
Like, I couldn't say that he would have heard. Most other people would have heard them.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not Ian.
You know. Oh,
who are the Jonas Brothers? Are they like murderers? They sound like murderers.
They've murdered a few songs, yeah.
No, that's what they sound like, don't they? Like, sort of like, and then, of course, there was the cult of the Jonas Brothers who killed all them people.
I mean, it was a cult for, as in the Disney fan base from it, and the culty sort of fans, but...
Is it a Disney thing?
It is, yeah, okay. Disney Channel. I mean, you're not a 12-year-old girl, so I won't hold it against you.
I might identify as one.
Fair enough.
I find that very insulting.
Fair enough. From what I can tell.
Oh, no, okay, so that's a big deal, then?
Yeah, it's very much a teeny bopper thing,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and you were in that?
Yes, yeah, I played the baddie.
Okay, called?
Tess Tyler.
Mm. Good name.
Mm. Strong name for a baddie.
But now you're making your West End debut. Let's call it West End.
Oh my God, yeah. My slightly north of West End debut. Slightly northeast.
Well, I love the Park Theatre. Mm. Like, I really, really like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm quite passionate about American actors based in London.
Okay.
Because I think that there's actually quite a few of us, and they all the time you see these shows in the West End, and it's British people doing absolutely horrendous American accents.
They're my favourite ones.
And so I just sort of got fed up with it. And I was like, fuck it, let's make our own show and let's do an American play. And 3 out of our 5 cast members are American.
Okay.
We all multi-role. I think we play, like, God, at least 5 or 6 characters each.
It's terrifying.
It's amazing. It's so fun. Like, I just came from rehearsal, and, like, everyone's just throwing out new accents. Like, suddenly we have a Nigerian accent in one of our pieces.
Well, you can't, because you're supposed to be in America. That was the whole point of this. You're supposed to be in America.
Well, it's the British actor doing it, though, so it's okay.
Yeah, okay.
And I do a British accent.
Drop them in it. Let me hear your British accent.
Oh, no, this happened to me the other day. Okay, I can only do a really incredibly heightened RP accent.
That's bang on, though. That's really good.
That's really good.
But you'd have to be able to be regional as well.
So, can you do his accent?
I think my accent's all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. I can't really.
My accent's all over the place. I can sort of do it.
That's actually perfect.
Well, get out of the studio right now. I find it interesting that, because I would go, well, we'll do a regional accent, but I reckon if someone was doing an American accent, it'd just be a generic American
accent.
That's
why I don't think we do regional. Well, I don't do any American accents, but when.
Right, listen to this. Howdy.
That's your New York accent, is it? Where's
I'm
that from?
Chicago? The deep south.
The deep south. Just
of
general.
That's where I'm from.
No.
Right? Hoi, I'm from New York.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So
I guess that you like that one.
Yeah,
that one.
Where are you from?
I'm from Las Vegas.
I'm from Las Vegas.
Close. Yeah. We'll work on it.
Nevada, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Very good. But we say Nevada.
So I do as well. I was just saying it, so not understood.
I understood Nevada as well.
Nevada. Isn't Vegas not real?
It's fake.
So how can you be from there?
How can any of us be from anywhere?
But isn't that interesting? That's an interesting thing. Do you mind asking how old you are?
I'm 27. I have to think about it. 27.
Okay. So... Were you born and bred in Vegas?
I was.
Wow, that's overwhelming. Have you got stories?
I mean, my dad's a gynecologist in Vegas.
Brilliant.
So, like, okay. That just automatically...
Isn't that?
That's great.
That's a character waiting to happen,
yeah, it
isn't
is.
It?
Right. Las Vegas gynecologist.
I know. He's got stories. You know, I don't feel like I can tell his stories him. It's but
probably some legal thing in that as well.
Yeah. Think there's an ethics. Yeah. Is he based in a casino?
I wish. Know, right? That'd be amazing. My sister.
I've lost the dice.
Oh, God. That's probably happened. No, my sister used to babysit for a stripper. That's like probably the most exciting thing.
No, but that's what I was hoping for. Yeah. That's what I was imagining because Vegas is such a hedonistic.
Yeah.
What were the people called again? The Jonas Brothers.
The Jonas Brothers.
Wow.
What?
The Jonas Brothers.
I don't know what they're called. What
Jonas.
Are they?
Jonas.
So what are they?
They do acting and singing.
Is it Hanson?
Basically.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah. Okay, more modern version of Hanson.
And I don't think Hanson played instruments. They play instruments.
Was Cam Rock, was that music? Oh, yes.
They might have to, J-O-N-A-S.
Are you friends with them still?
Not really.
Don't play him.
No, let's play him and slag him off.
Oh, okay.
No, they're lovely. They are lovely. I just haven't seen them in years.
Jonas Blue? Oh, Sucker. No. Jonas Brothers, Sucker.
Oh, Sucker. That's their new song. Yeah. That's their new song.
Sucker?
Yeah,
that's Sucker. The Jonas Brothers trying to look hard. Sucker.
Is that
what I'm saying? I'm
anti. Honestly, they might be lovely.
They are lovely.
I thought for a minute you didn't go on with them, so I was like, I'm Team Megan. So fuck these Jonas Brothers.
No, they are lovely guys.
They're nice though.
Can we start that? Can we start this on this show? Because we're only a little show. Let's start that on this show.
Beef.
Great.
Let's have, So we'll have Team Megan and Team Jonas.
We're all Team Megan.
I don't think, Jonas. You guys are the only ones on Team Megan.
We got you though, Megan. We got you.
Doesn't matter. Because we have a show.
Exactly.
So we can perpetuate the Team Megan bit.
Okay.
And bring them Jonas Brothers down.
Right, by playing their songs on the show. Seems a weird way of doing it.
Right, well that's how we're gonna end it. With Hanson singing and bop. Because we have decided to go with Hanson rather than the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, it's fine. It's the right
Team Hanson.
Yeah, yes. Jonas Brothers are a poor man's Hanson.
Hi, I'm Antonio O'Keel from Eaten by Lions.
Hi, I'm Jack Carroll, also from the film Eaten by Lions. You're listening to FUBAR Radio. We've just had a chat with Ian Boldsworth. It's good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really nice and relaxed, actually.
I think they preferred you to me because you had your little professional head on. And
you were a megalomaniac.
Yes, I was an ego-crazed fool who had no information to hand about the film that we're meant to be promoting. But anyway, it's good fun.
Well, what else isn't it?
Well, that's it, isn't it? I think it's enough to bring both our careers down.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Cheers,
FUBAR. FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose. Please welcome Young in the building.
Hello.
Are you going to be coming and doing some London shows soon?
Hopefully, yeah. Always want to come back to London.
We actually played recently, didn't we, in London? Was it in Brixton?
Brixton, yeah. Yeah.
What was the crowd? What was the energy
there
like?
There was like 10,000 people there when we got there. I had to like fight through the crowds to get there, and then all these people fighting us off, and then I did like 3 backflips off stage.
I feel like that bit is true.
Yeah. Backflips happen, but...
With those legs.
These legs can't backflip.
Every Thursday from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. Ironics in the studio.
Yo, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm very well, you know. Very hot, but very well.
Yeah, but now you can cool down in my icebox.
Yeah.
Welcome to my icebox.
It must get cold in here in the winter, right?
Yeah.
Because it feels quite chilly, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's unreal. Yeah. You wouldn't believe. Also, I'm quite light. I don't really get too hot or too cold at any time, usually.
For real? You just stay one kind of temperature.
But you know shit's fucking real if I do start to feel one, you know?
It's like, weird swearing on it, like really going for the swear words on the radio.
Fuck. Go for it.
I can't do it. My mum listens to everything I do, so
oh, okay,
I can't
sorry. What's your mum called?
Charlotte.
Oh, so Charlotte. Charlotte, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. You can swear. I can't just swear.
Yeah, you'll get hit over the back of the head.
I'll still get in trouble. Yeah, I'm a mummy's boy, man.
Oh, so let's chat about your new track, Prayers for Life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful track. It's very honest.
Thank you, man.
It talks on your side, it talks a lot about the industry and kind of decisions that you made early on that maybe you would change now. But I found it really poignant when you said about, I think it was about buying a necklace or...
Buying jewelry, a lot of jewelry and wasting a lot of money on jewelry and
clothes. Because there's no one there to say what you should be doing. Because I think in that moment, you're like, well, I've got money, so what else am I going to do?
Now I'm older, a bit more wiser, so, you know, we do things a bit more differently now. But when I first did come out, you know, little things like that affect me. And it's good that I can tell other people that, so younger artists can learn from that. And, you know, and don't get twisted, I still like nice things. Like you said, you like my ring that I'm wearing now.
Yeah.
Like, I still like nice jewelry, but I think I went a bit too crazy with it back then.
Well, it's about being able to judge when it's appropriate and when it's cool. Like, I'm awful. The minute I know I've got money coming in, before it's even come in, I've spent it.
You're thinking about
I've spent it. I've spent it. It's on my fucking credit card. Like,
that's true.
Done.
Yeah, we all do it, really. But, you know.
But it's good to be aware of it. And I think it's good for people like you who've been in the industry a minute to talk to the other people about. Yeah. Because it's like, no one cares. Like, really, you think that people care about you Instagramming the, like, Magnum of whatever, and it's like no one cares.
It's gotten worse now. Like, if I came out now, I'm not sure how much I would have spent now, because I see people wearing so much clothes I wouldn't have bought, like, back in the day. Like, I was spending money, but not like how they spend it now.
No.
Yeah.
Like Gucci.
Yeah, all for the gram. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's too much. I'd rather spend it on food.
Yeah, yeah, true.
I'm
food. A big foodie.
Yeah. Same. Oh, are you?
Yeah, I love food. I love my food, man.
Are you a cook? Do you cook?
I'm getting there. I'm learning how to.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm on like my third or fourth meal that I can actually.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. I started off with like a spag bol.
Oh, mate. Yes. That's the most legendary starter meal.
You got to start somewhere. So I started on that.
Can I just tell you, if you can smash a fucking spaghetti bolognese, then you can smash life.
Yeah. And my spag bol is 10 out of 10.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 10 out of 10.
Oh, sick.
So I got that, and I got another meal. I got a new pasta dish that I've been working on. It's like a Cajun chicken pasta dish.
Oh, tell us.
Yeah, man. It's nice, man. You know, and yeah, that's probably my new one. I need to work on it a bit more.
You're just finessing it right now.
I'm just getting the flavors right, and you know, but I'm into cooking. Actually, I used to want to be a chef, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was younger, I think.
But the music took over. Well, I'm glad you chose music.
Thank you.
I feel like at the moment there's a sort of a wave of artists feeling, especially in the hip-hop and the grime community, where people feel they can be honest in their lyrics. And actually, when you look at the artists that are doing the best,
it's the ones that are letting out the most.
Dave, Stormzy, you know, like, in terms of the UK industry right now, those are the people that are getting big.
For letting out their emotion. Like,
absolutely.
Even the biggest rapper in the world, we could say Drake, you know, he's mostly known for.
Oh, he's so emotional.
He's so emotional. He's the emotion king.
He's like, he is emotion. Like, every element of, like, there's so many memes that are just like Drake crying.
Crying, listening to Drake crying, like.
Drake listening to Drake crying about Drake. But you know what, like, I think we've passed the point of, like, anybody who still believes that emotion is not something that men can relate to and men can express is a fucking idiot, and
it's
they
true.
Should step aside, because we're taught it from a very young age. Men are taught
man up,
but you know, you know, boys will be boys, and now we're relearning.
Yeah, for me, I think maybe being around my mom a lot, and I was raising around predominantly women, I think that kind of helped me just be like, I'll let out my emotion. I'll let you know how I feel. You know,
I'm grateful to those women in your life for that.
Yeah, no, for real. Same here, man. So big shout out to my family and everyone around me, because I've always just felt like I need to let something out or let people know how I feel.
Big shout out to Charlotte.
Yeah, big shout out to Charlotte. Shout out to Sim, my sister Lucy. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's important on both sides, because I know as a girl I was always told to shh. You know, like, please, you know, you're a bit too, girls aren't really loud. And now I've got a job being fucking loud.
You're allowed to be loud now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, it's kind of that nice dichotomy of change and the new generation and how it's all sort of going that way.
Yeah.
I think it's nice, isn't it?
It is nice, yeah. People are allowed to just express themselves how they want now.
Yeah.
It's good.
Thank God for that.
Also, I would say, like, I show my family and my team the songs once I've recorded them and see what they think and get their advice first before anyone else hears it. So.
Who's the most honest?
The most honest is...
Is it Charlotte?
No. She's biased because
I'm
her son, so she's obviously always going to say she loves it. But my best friend, one of my best friends, Jerome, he will be so honest. He didn't like any of my first songs.
Really?
He admits it, so... I like it though.
Yeah, but it's good because you need that.
Yeah, you do.
When I come off, if I think I've done a bad set, I'm like, how was that?
Yeah.
Like, Nat will always tell me if I do a shit interview.
Oh,
I mean, it never happens. How, so she never has
this
to.
This is going good, right, Nat?
Nat, all right, two thumbs up.
There
not just
go.
One thumb.
There we go.
Not just one thumbs. So are you busy? Are you out and about playing over the summer? What's your sort of
There's all different stuff going on. Also, I got another new single we're about to put out soon.
Can you tell us anything about it?
Yeah, I haven't even spoke about this anywhere yet, but it's called Calm Down. Then we shot the video in Cannes, and in Dubai.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, on a yacht, so, you know.
How was the yacht? Did you get seasick?
No, I'm all right, you know. I was all right, yeah, I was chilled, man. I actually don't get seasick.
Did you wear a safety vest?
No.
It's very important. Yeah, you do not want to fall out in the middle of the deep, dark ocean without one.
And I can't swim, so that would have
been... Oh, my God! Tell Babe, if you'd fallen in, we'd be fucked.
There would be no interview today.
No!
Hey, this is Elle Devine. I just had the best time ever with Harriet on the show. I really like the fact that I can swear. And I can't wait to come back and do it again.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. We'll be right back.
FUBAR Radio presents Joey Page.
Mini Mentions, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Can I get you to just do a little... Can you just advertise the show quickly for us?
Joe Page is kind of tight.
Joe Page is my real name. I've added a showbiz Y.
That's right. Why would you do that? Joe Page?
It's too late now.
I think you should drop the Y.
Yeah.
Joe Page suits the mustache, too.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe Page.
Turn the page, sick. Joe.
And the suit. Yeah, I think Joe, man.
Joe Page!
I've already done...
Joe Page.
Made a lot of posters with Joey Page on.
Hey, this is Michael from Mini Mentions, and you're listening to Joe Page on FUBAR Radio every Wednesday, 2 p.m.
Yeah. I'm very excited to be talking to Kelsey and Nick from Local Natives. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Letterman was fun. I had an interesting situation at the end of our set. He's like, oh, where are you guys from? And here, I'll go over here so, like, it makes sense. So I was just like, Silver Lake! He's like, cool, thanks. And then he leaves.
Maybe to make you feel better, we'll do the reverse. So I'm going to get you to ask me where I'm from.
Yeah, where are you from?
Bexley Heath! Bro, you got to represent where you're from.
Yeah.
John Grant, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Joey.
Do you feel you are appreciated enough in the music business? You're like a genius in music, so...
Thank you for the fantastic compliments. I don't feel particularly great at what I do, so it's always nice to hear that. I don't know, I don't feel like I'm allowed to have an opinion about that. I think I'm probably getting what I can handle. I wonder if I would be able to take the kind of attention that some people get.
Band of Skulls, welcome into...
Thank you very much.
Russell and Emma, how you doing? I'm sure you were far too busy to be aware of this, but it was pancake day. How are your pancaking skills? Are you any good at making them? Are you any good at flipping them?
I do a good American pancake.
Baking soda?
Dad's recipe. It's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the secret, though, isn't it, to make them rise?
In the fridge for a bit, just to chill.
That's an extra thing that will help me next time I make them.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m. Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
My name's Jack.
That's enough of that.
This is Glenn.
Hello.
We're from the band Honeymoon, and we're filling in for Joey Page today. I hope you're doing fine and dandy. Joey, wherever you are, we're sending you our love. Introduce yourself, guest. Where's our Hawaiian music gone?
Oh, you want it back? Should we have some...
Let's have some Hawaiian
embedded...
music. Hawaiian
music?
So natural. What's your name? Where have you come from?
My name is Lion, and I've come from... Wherever I come from this morning, my bed rolled out.
How was bed?
Delicious.
What bed do you have? Are we talking queen, king? Are we talking single? Are we talking bunk?
It is not a bunk.
Good.
It is just a double, standard
just a
double.
Standard double. I've recently learned that there's different sizes.
IKEA.
There's different sizes of standard double, though. This is the thing. Yeah. So, but I'll take it that you've got a good one.
My chair around.
A good one.
A good standard double.
Okay.
Now let's talk Lion.
Yes.
Where does the name come from? Are you inspired by the animal?
The Lion King.
Or the chocolate bar?
The film.
The film.
My surname in German means lions.
And what is that translated, if you don't mind giving it away on radio?
Well, it's Lohen, my surname.
Lohen.
But in Germany, it's like Lovin or something like that. Lovin.
Lovin.
I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. I don't speak any German. I probably just made that whole thing up.
I can teach you some German if you'd like, live on air.
Thank you.
My pronunciation is terrible, and I'm pretty sure the words aren't right, but I can at least give you the impression that you're learning something.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You're going to learn a question, and you're going to learn an answer.
Okay.
The answer is, wo ist das Kaninchen?
Wo ist das Kaninchen?
Kaninchen, yeah.
Just copied your whole thing.
Das Kaninchen?
Kaninchen?
Yeah. Das Kaninchen ist unter den Tisch, natürlich. Can you say that?
What are you making me say?
So,
how do you know this, Jack? I've never heard you speak German before.
Mum speaks fluent German.
Really?
Lived 9 years in Austria, fact. Wo ist das Kaninchen means, where is the rabbit? And das Kaninchen ist unter den Tisch, natürlich. Means the rabbit is under the table, of course.
Thank you for teaching me the words that I've always wanted to know in German.
You can get by with that.
I'm fluent.
I went to Berlin with a bunch of my friends when I was like 17, and that's all we said to every German person, and they absolutely loved us. We fitted right in.
Nice.
You get by with that. Yeah. Anyway.
Have we had enough of the Hawaiian, or do you want something else?
That was like white noise now.
We need like a Love Island theme.
A Love Island theme, yeah. I don't know.
In the background. We need something a bit more hectic.
Let's try this. I think this might be nice.
He's seamless on the decks, isn't he?
Ooh.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah?
Give me the highlight of tour.
I went on my first tour bus.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the tour bus.
Yeah.
The tour bus.
And it was really fun. I was like,
it was actually a bus, right? Not just a car.
Not just a split of van. No.
For all those wondering, it's Kentish Town Forum is 2,300 capacity.
Ah.
Pretty big.
That's large. Yeah.
What was the tour bus like? Did it have flames on the side?
Well, it wasn't my tour bus.
Oh, right.
We call ours the Megabus.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you heard of this concept? They call it the Megabus.
Megabus.
It is a Megabus.
Yeah.
Beautiful toilet, lots of room, very quick, gets from A to B very quickly with no real hassle, and yeah, it's just really nice. Comfortable, you know?
We covered a lot of Megabus chat last time we were on the show, so maybe we'll...
Maybe we should veer away.
We'll leave that.
We should do a UE on the Megabus chat. So what else has been going on in Lion World? So you've just come back off tour.
I haven't been home yet.
Oh, really?
I got back on Monday and I've still not been home.
Oh, wow.
Like, I need to go home and I need to, wash my clothes.
I just did the whole Glasto thing and had the wash. The wash when you get back. It was just, you know, gross. You look down into the shower.
It was super dusty this year.
Super dusty.
Like, gets in.
Yep. The showers I had were really, you know, when your mate pours the water all over you. My girlfriend poured this, you know, all this water over me and I'm using this, like, lemon wash. But I'm right next to the path, giving everyone a show as they go by. I felt a bit self-conscious. Yeah. So I kind of embraced it. But when I got back and had the real shower,
delicious.
Looked down and, like, all around my feet is just this
you forget
browny, grey...
Like, you forget how good smells are.
Grim,
like,
man. Really grim. Yeah. So I know where you're at, but I feel like you're slightly cleaner than I was.
I don't know. I mean, I've showered.
I don't know how, I don't know how we gauge this. Welcome to the smellometer.
The armometer. Yeah. It's funny because I think people think that touring is like glamorous and it's like, it's just actually quite disgusting.
Yeah, it's meal deals. It's sleeping where you
I
can.
I didn't know we were plugging meal deals yet.
Ah, meal deals. Glenn's old / side project / current band. Meal deals. Great name for a band. He's got an enamel pin in his pocket.
It
says Meal Deals on it that he designed the logo for.
A badge.
Amazing.
Mm. What's the best secondhand thing you own?
This jacket's going, but look at the rip in it.
For those of you that aren't watching the live stream, there's a big amount of shoulder missing.
Back is missing.
It's like a third arm hole.
There was like a little rip, and then when we were in the van, my tour manager almost crashed and braked really suddenly, and it was hooked over the chair in front.
Oh, I see. This is...
And it just ripped, like the chair went through the jacket, and I was like, oh.
This is wear and tear. Well, this is proof that it's not glamorous. You don't have someone there to sew it up for you.
No.
You don't have someone to help you into a new jacket.
But I've got the piece of material plaited in here.
That hasn't come from that.
It's all stripped. And,
it's true. Yeah,
she's lying to me.
Some of it, like, just disintegrated. Now I have a little denim.
What are you going to do with that? You should make that into
maybe
a braid.
Like, yeah.
Put it on my head.
That would look really good, wouldn't it?
It would.
Put braids in your hat.
Braids in my bald. Just have one bit at the back.
Just a little.
Just like a little, you know, what is it? The donkey on the...
Oh, I wish you could
pin
all
the
see
tail
it
on Jack.
Hi, I'm Connor from the Nude Party. We just talked to Joey, had a little chat with him on Fubar Radio. It was pretty delightful, actually.
What a pleasant bloke. The frippery, the comedy, the questions, the answers.
My favorite part of the interview, let's see, probably that Joey was shirtless. I thought that was interesting.
Thank you, Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Charlie Hickson.
Hello there.
You're an absolute legend.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm almost mythological.
I saw an interview. I watched lots of Chris Finney. I saw an interview with him. And apparently they said to them, my agent was talking to the producers of Harry Potter. And they said, oh, we have a marvellous part here that he could play in Harry Potter. And the producer of Harry Potter said, no, because he's already played a wizard in The Lord of the Rings. And he goes, I mean, that's what's wrong with filmmaking in this country.
Every Friday,
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club
from 12 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio by Toby Williams.
Hello.
Actor extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah, I am an extraordinarily bad actor.
And you are a comedian?
I am as well, yeah.
But we're not going to talk about you being a comedian. You always get cast as doctors, vets.
Or baffled dads.
Doctors, vets, morgue attendants, and...
Oh, yeah, I'm a mortician, yeah, in Porters.
And if you're not on that side of the desk, you appear in Holby City with a tap up your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
That was my finest moment 3 years ago, that was now.
I know, but I
since
just...
I peaked.
I can't believe it. I've not even seen
it. It was a huge tap.
How on Holby City do they do a storyline about somebody who's got a tap up their ass?
Well, they sort of... So your
they needed comic relief. That episode was miserable.
Your character gets wheeled in on a stretcher, on a gurney.
With some copper, yeah.
Copper
pipes
on your hands
coming
and
out.
Knees.
But you've got to then go...
I'm on my side with my knees up to my chest.
With a bath tap stuck up your anus.
Yeah, but the implication is that you stuck a bath tap up your ass, right?
Yeah, that is it. Which I
but how do they
deny.
Do that at 8 p.m. without being...
I slipped as I was getting out.
You say you slipped when you were getting out, right? And then you say, have you had anything to eat or drink? And you said, I had a glass of Chardonnay and a pork pie.
A mini
and they
pork
say,
pie.
Did you have that before or after the tap went up your ass? And you say, after. So the implication is that you've taken a pork pie
and a glass of wine into the bath
and you're going to
slid down onto the tap
and you're going to pleasure yourself on the tap.
But why would you? Yeah. Why would you eat and drink at the same time? Surely you do it afterwards.
So now what?
But maybe I had it ready for afterwards, and because I was stuck, I was like, "Well, I'll have it now."
This is what I suspect happened, right?
I slipped.
I don't think you can imply that someone's stuck a tap
no,
up their
ass. No, he's got a tap up his anus and there's all of that stuff. But there's a bit when you get wheeled off and then all of the doctors start making puns about it. But the puns aren't really...
Instead of a pork pie, I should have had tap ass. But they don't say
right,
that.
Yeah, yes. Right. But in your episode, the other storylines are suicide... Horrible. Cancer.
Yeah.
It's like there's a man cheating on his wife or a wedding getting cancelled. It was like an absolute horror
it's
show.
It's a horror show. There's
and then
there's
Toby
the,
Williams gets
the,
wheeled in with a bath tap.
There's
up
the
his
alcoholic mother who's giving birth to a premature baby and they're going to take it away from her. Yeah. Jesus. Let's not forget that.
I mean, this makes the tonal shift of this stuff, really.
It was a lot of heavy lifting in the
I've
comedy
never
department.
Watched Holby
for me.
City. It was the only episode of Holby City I've ever watched and it was fucking insane. I watched it because Toby was on and it was absolutely fucking crazy.
Do you remember the sound effect when it came out?
What was the sound effect?
Bloody hell.
What was it like?
It was foul. Oh, it was more like...
So how did they get it out? With some like Swarfiga or something?
I had to pretend I was asleep while they physically rocked me back and forth while they tried to yank it out. I mean, literally, it was quite brutal. Must have done some damage.
Mm. Oh, must have done some damage going in as well.
Why would you stick a bath tap up your ass?
People do all sorts of things.
Yeah, no, but I think it's...
Stick I can understand a finger, a carrot, a ketchup bottle, dildo.
Well, my favourite is the jam jar.
Your favourite?
Oh my god, because somebody put that fucking story.
An empty
somebody
jam
put
jar.
An empty jam jar up their ass and their anus contracted and it shattered.
Oh no, it wasn't. This one was that if you put a jar up there, obviously an open, empty jar,
it creates a vacuum.
So what they had to do was put a drill up the arse and drill a hole in the end.
They put it open end first.
No, you could. Whichever way you put it round, but they probably did. Whichever way you put it in,
I
would
put
then
it
be
base
difficult to
first
get out.
If I was doing it.
But it depends how far you put it up and if the anus closes around.
Oh my god!
The end, then you're not going to
get
it
out. But
can't
you just sort of like force it out?
Well, I mean, my
and then sell it as jam.
My understanding.
Do you know what's a shame
bath.
Is? It's yeah, a shame exactly. He didn't become a returning character, and every week he's got something different up his ass.
Sure.
Believe me, I suggested it. I did suggest
it. But right, so is the idea that he's going to stick a tap up his ass, and then he eats...
Every month.
Yeah, once a month.
And then he eats the pork pie to sort of, like, knock it through.
It would take a while, though.
No, I think he just wanted to have a little... Afterwards, I imagine afterwards the wine was by the side of the bath, maybe here, a mini pork pie here, just by pure luck happened to be in arm's reach. After he realised he was stuck,
like, see, I think what would happen is you would
phone,
have an
God,
initial panic where you'd be like, "Oh fuck, oh,
I think I'm here now,"
and then you have to go to then you have that internal thing with yourself, like, "Is this a hospital visit or is this? Do I have to go to Holby?"
Yeah.
Now.
They've got cameras there.
How did you phone? Did you have your phone with you?
Lucky I had my mobile. That's the line. I only remember it because I put it on my show reel and probably watched it 100 times.
Of course
you did. Not on there anymore. It's a great scene. Very good scene.
I think you could have been in every week with a different thing up your ass. Well, to the point where you get to be Anne Toby Williams in the credits.
Yeah. When I used to work on magazines and picture research and stuff and I just freelance around... Didn't work on the lads' mags very often. I wasn't a fan of those. But one week I had on there, and my entire job was researching X-rays of various things in people's bodies, and a lot of them were up the bum. light bulb, giant light bulbs.
Oh, God.
A giant light bulb?
Yeah, like a big one. You can see the filament and stuff like that. It was a good x-ray.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Why would you put anything glass up your ass?
And the story. It rhymes. See, the ketchup bottle.
Only because it rhymes.
The ketchup bottle's a great one because that's the whole story around it. Comes in with a ketchup bottle. You just go like, look, I'm sorry. I tried sticking out my ass and it's stuck. But he comes like, oh, I got home, put the shopping down, realised I needed to change a light bulb, went up a stepladder and fell off and the ketchup went up my ass. I was like, why were your trousers around your ankles, mate?
Ricky Gervais does that on one of his shows. They go, why? How did the condom get on it?
To Fubar Radio.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.